Well, a drill sergeant was frustrated in his efforts to make a soldier out of a certain recruit. The trainee lagged behind on marches. He used any excuse to go on sick call, grumbled constantly about the food, and he never made his bunk properly, Ken. Never made his bunk properly. He's another soldier. Now, I wasn't meaning that was you. I wasn't, but he's another soldier. He knows people that were like that in the Army. But one day, a noticeable change took place in the young man's attitude. When asked to what he attributed the soldier's change in attitude, the drill sergeant explained, "Threats and punishment did not work, so I had to resort to the ultimate weapon. I called his mother." Ultimate weapon. Dr. James Dobson, the famous psychologist and author, founder of Focus on the Family, he tells the story about the time when he came home when his son Ryan was a small boy, small baby. It had been a terrible day for Shirley, his wife. Ryan had been sick and had cried all day long. Moms, anybody know about that? Yeah, some of you do. All day long. Once, as she was changing his diapers, the telephone rang, and Shirley reached over to answer it before fastening his diapers. Just then, Ryan had an attack of diarrhea. She cleaned up the mess and put him in some clean, sweet-smelling clothes. Then she took him into the living room and fed him. As she was burping him, he threw up all over himself, all over her, and all over their couch also. Dobson writes, "When I got home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere." And Shirley, his wife, cried out to him, "Was this in my contract?" That kind of experience, which I think every mother's gone through, has led some mothers to say, the joy of motherhood is what a woman experiences when all the children are finally in bed. Right? Amen. Amen. 2 weeks ago, Linda and I were in Paris, France, and we went to the Louvre Museum. And first thing you do when you go in the Louvre, you make your way to the famous art gallery to see the most famous, what's considered the most famous painting ever, the Mona Lisa. And so there we were standing in front of the Mona Lisa. And there was a guy I met from New York. He was there and I started talking with him and he said, "You know, one of the most interesting things about that painting?" And I said, "What?" He said, "Look at the eyes. Look at the eyes. And then move around the room. Wherever you go, those eyes follow you." And there was a guy standing before him. He said, "That sounds just like my mother." I thought, wow. But it's like mothers, right? They got even eyes where? On the back of their heads. Their eyes are all over the place. Well, there are two books, folks, in the Bible that are named after women. One is the book of Esther. And Esther was a Jewish woman who married a Gentile man. But the other book is Ruth, who was a Gentile woman who married a Jewish man. But only one of those women were mothers that we know of, and that's Ruth. So I want you to take your Bibles, open them up to the book of Ruth. Now, Ruth's the eighth book of the Bible, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. So, eighth book of the Bible. And we find out that I want to examine with you today this story of a mother who I think was so important. She was important enough for a book of the Bible to be named after her. And the story, according to verse 1 of chapter 1, takes place during the day of Judges. The Judges. And we know from Scripture the days of the judges were very evil days. There was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Everybody during the day of judges, it was all about me. It was all about doing my thing, not God's thing, my thing. It was an evil time, kind of like today. Kind of like today. And this story takes place in that context. But this story is a beautiful story about love, but about the sovereignty of God and about God's salvation. This story is a story about a kinsman redeemer. And I hope as we look at this morning, if we look carefully, and if we look at this book with the eye of faith, we're going to see a picture of a greater redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. And I want to share, this is a love story. This is a love story. And I'm going to share with you this morning four aspects of love. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Lord, I pray today that you would anoint our eyes that we may see. Anoint our hearts that we may believe. And Lord, let us get a glimpse of your glory in this book of Ruth. We thank you for your love. Lord, speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Four aspects of love. And the first one's found in chapter 1. We're going to go chapter by chapter. By the way, I usually do about 3 or 4 verses, and it takes about 45 minutes. We're going through the whole book of Ruth today. I'll go quickly. But the first aspect of love is love's resolve. Chapter 1's love's resolve. Look, I want to read first 5 verses. Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judea and Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his 2 sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her 2 sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they lived there for about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her 2 children and her husband. Here's a family that was living in Bethlehem during the time of the judges. Now, you remember what God had told the people of God. He said, listen, if you obey me, you follow my commandments, you obey the covenant, you know what's going to lead? You're going to be blessed. It'll bring about blessings in your life and prosperity. I'll bless you. But if you disobey and you do your own thing, there'll be consequences of that. There'll be destruction and there'll be famine. And you know what? A famine hit. There was a famine in the land. In fact, Bethlehem means house of bread. Ephrathah means fullness and abundance. In Ephrathah, in Bethlehem, in fullness, in the house of bread, there's a famine because people disobeyed God. And so this man by the name of Elimelech, which means my king is God. And his wife Naomi, whose name means pleasant, sweetness. He says, listen, we got to go. And he uproots his family and he goes into the land of Moab. Southwest, he goes east and southwest of the Dead Sea into the land of Moab. He takes his family. While there, Elimelech dies. His children, Mahlon and Chilion, they take Moabite women as their wives. And they lived there 10 years. and then the two sons die. That's where we are in this story of Ruth. And then what happens is Naomi hears, she gets word that God had visited his people in his land in Bethlehem, and he brought food for them. She says, you know what? I'm going home. I'm going back home. And so she gets up to go home, and her daughter-in-laws get up to go with her. And down in verses 7, really through 13, Ruth tells them, no, my daughter-in-laws, no, my beloved daughter-in-laws, don't go with me. Don't go with me. You see, you know, if you go with me, I don't have a future. I mean, things are going bad for me, and there's no future for you. And I think she said that out of love. Because love doesn't think of self. Love thinks of others. And I think she was thinking of her daughter-in-law. She said, go back home to your mothers, back home to your home, to your people, to your just stay here. Because then you'll be able to get a husband and have a family. And that's what she tells them. And I think they weep. It says they weep. And both of them say, do you see this where they say in verse 10? No. But we will surely return with you to your people, Naomi. But then Naomi says, return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they're grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you. For the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. She felt God's against me. And I want you to be able to have a home and to be wives. And what she's referring to here, by the way, is what's called the Levirate marriage law. You see, if a man married a woman and that man died before he had children, then one of his brothers was to marry his wife. And the child that would be born to them would be the heir of his brother. That was called Levirate marriage. And what Naomi is saying here is, I'm old. I can't have children anymore. But even if I could, you would have to wait until they were grown up so that they would be able to marry you and give you children. Go back home. Go back to your people. And so we see up in verse 14, Orpah, one of the daughter-in-laws, they're weeping, they're crying, but she kisses Naomi and she goes home. But Ruth, here we have the love's resolve. Listen to this. This is a beautiful passage. Verse 14b, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But listen to what Ruth says. Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For wherever you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything, but death parts you and me. I'm going to tell you, that is love's resolve. Amen. That's love's commitment and resolve. This is one of the greatest statements of loyalty and commitment in the Bible. And that's why many times this is read where? How many of you heard that at a wedding, either sung or read? This is read at weddings. But you know what? This is not talking about a love between a husband and a wife, or a wife and her husband. This is talking about the love of a daughter-in-law for her mother-in-law. And what commitment! Ruth was willing to leave her family, her friends, her familiar surroundings. She was willing to leave her people and go with Naomi into a foreign land. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. She declares her loyalty. Not only to Naomi, but to Naomi's God. She says, do you see it there? Your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. She said, I want to follow Jehovah God. I want to follow the God of the Jews, the God of the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, that is love's resolve. Do you hear that resolve in her voice? Do you hear it when you read it? You hear that resolve. And not only did Naomi hear it, you know what Naomi did? Look down at verse 18. She saw it. It says here, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. You know, women can get resolved. Men, right? Your wife ever get resolved?
Amen.
I'm going to pray for you, brother. I don't know. Your wife's not here? Oh no, she is. She was resolved. I'm going with you. That's resolve. Nothing's going to part us. That's resolve. You know, I see some things here. I see glimpses of God through this whole thing. God's resolved. God has a resolving love like that. He's resolved. He's not going to leave us. He's resolved. Nothing's going to separate you from my love. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's God. God's love for his people, he has a resolve. But you know, he wants us to have that kind of love.
Amen.
He wants us to have that kind of love in our relationships, in our homes, in our families, in our extended families. I am committed, and I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm going to be there. I will be there for you. Husbands, that's the kind of resolve we need to have for our wives. Wives, for our husbands.
Amen.
For our families, for our children, for extended families, for mother-in-laws.
Yeah.
And father-in-laws. We've got to have that kind of resolve. I am going to love. We need to resolve to love God and love people. And I've said this, I'll say it, and you're going to get sick of me saying this, but I'm going to say it until probably I'm dead. Two things in life important. Only two. That you love God and you love people.
Amen.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And you know who your nearest neighbor is? Your spouse. And your kids. And your brothers and sisters in the church. What would be resolved? You can count on me. So, that's love's resolve. So they make it back to Bethlehem. You see at the end of chapter 1, they go back to Bethlehem. And here they're coming into town. And man, there's a buzz. Oh, hey, they're coming. There's somebody coming. And they come up and they say, is that Naomi? Life had been hard on her, I think. Is that Naomi? She said, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Don't call me sweetness. Call me Mara. Because the Lord, Mara, bitterness. Because the Lord's been hard on me. The Almighty has afflicted me. So that's chapter 1, love's resolve. God wants us to have a resolving love, a love that's resolved to be there and to be loyal and faithful. Chapter 2, we have love's response. Let me read. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to a portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. And Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I'm a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not know previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers and he served her roasted grain. And she ate and was satisfied and had some left. And when she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." Here I see love's response. And what I mean by that is love's just not talk. Love's just not talk. Love is seen in actions and attitudes. And so I think here we see love being displayed. It's responding. How so? Let me give you some characteristics of love. First of all, love is humble. Verses 1 through 6, Ruth is willing to go out in the fields with the other poor people who have nothing and ask to glean in the field. You know, our God is a compassionate God. Our God cares about the poor. Do you know that? He does. And God in the Old Testament provided for poor people. But God had no welfare program. Did you know that? He said, "You know what? When you have a field and you go out and you harvest your field, don't harvest the corners. Don't glean the corners. So that after you're done harvesting, the poor people can go out and they can work and get their food." I think that's very interesting. He didn't say, "Harvest your crops and give it to the poor." He said, "Leave some in the field so the poor can come and work and get their food." Because God is a compassionate God. But you know what? Ruth here says to Naomi, "Let me go out and with other poor people, and I'm going to gather grain." She showed humility. Love is demonstrated in humility. Love is humble. Love is patient, 7 through 9, because she had to wait to the gleaners to do their job so that she could go out and follow them, follow behind them, so that she could glean the corners for the precious grain. Love is grateful, verses 10 through 12. She said, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me? I'm so grateful. Why would you do that? I'm a foreigner. But she was grateful. Love is industrious. Love labors. I'll tell you, it takes work to love. It takes work. And work, and it labors. And you know what love does? Love serves others. Here we have Ruth serving her mother-in-law. And then even Boaz comes, the owner of the field, and he serves Ruth. Serves Ruth. Love is respectful. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, my Lord. Love is kind. You have spoken kindly to your maidservant. And Boaz is kind to Ruth and tells her to come and eat and dip her piece of bread in the vinegar. And he served her. What kindness he showed to Ruth. Love is protective. He said, Ruth, don't go out to any other field. You just stay right in this field so you can be protected with my maids. It's protective. What we see here is love in action. And I couldn't help but think, when I read through this and I thought about all those characteristics, you know what I thought about? 1 Corinthians 13. What 1 Corinthians 13 describes, Ruth chapter 2 demonstrates. It puts it into action. You know, the word love is never found in the book of Ruth. But it's all over. Love is lived out in action. And you know what? If we look at this with the eye of faith, I see somebody here. I see Jesus. You know, Jesus in the Bible never said, it's not recorded that he ever said the words, I love you. But everything Jesus did, shouted it out.
Amen.
Jesus, love is what? Humble? Jesus said, I'm humble and gentle of spirit. In fact, he became so humble, you know what he did? He became obedient even to the point of death, even death on the cross.
Yes.
Patient? Jesus is patient. He's not slow, as some count slowness, but he's patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Kind? Jesus is kind. It's the kindness and goodness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. Serving and working? He said, the Father and I are working to this day. Serving? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Protective? Do you know what? We are protected by the power of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I see the love of Christ here. I see the love of the Lord. This is, folks, this is the kind of love that we need in our lives. This is the kind of love we need in our homes.
Yes.
Now this is Mother's Day. Let me talk to the husbands. One out at you, three back at me. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We're to humbly, patiently, kindly, protectively serve them. I hear all those amens, Pastor. Yes. But it's true. And wives, you're to respond back and love your husbands.
Amen.
And add on to that, respect them.
Yes.
And submit to them. And you know, when we get that kind of love, you know what people are going to say? Wow, that's a picture of Boaz and Ruth. Oh, no, wait. That's a picture of Christ in the church.
Amen.
That's love's response. Wow, what a love story. Now we get over to chapter 3, and we have love's request. Love's request. Let me read here, chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes. Go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down, and then he will tell you what you shall do." And she said to her, "All you say I'll do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went and lied down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning." Now, to understand this, we've got to understand the law of kinsman redeemer. The land of Israel, who owns it? The land of Israel belongs to the Lord. And he's given the use of it to the nation Israel. He had the land divided up by tribe, by lot, by tribes, and then all the way down to individual families. The family lands could not be permanently sold, but could be mortgaged out to others in times of need. But every 50 years, they had the year of Jubilee, and all the land would revert back to its original owners. If a person became poor and they couldn't afford things and had to mortgage out their land, they could do that. And they could always, if they got money, they could always buy it back. Or if they had a relative that so chose to do, they could buy the land back for their relative. The person that could buy, the relative that could buy back, the next of kin, was called a goel, or kinsman redeemer. Now listen to this. Three qualifications to be a kinsman redeemer. Three qualifications. If you were going to be a kinsman redeemer, it took three things. Number one, you had to be a blood relative. Number two, you had to have the means to do it, to buy back the land. And number three, you had to be willing. Those are the three qualifications for a kinsman redeemer. Boaz. Now it seems that maybe when Elimelech left to go to Moab, he may have mortgaged out the land. Or they may have come back and Naomi just couldn't afford anything, and she is going to have to mortgage out the land. And Elimelech had this family member, he had this family member by the name of Boaz. And Boaz, Ruth ended up gleaning in his field by chance. No. By the sovereign will of God, he was a close relative that could actually be a kinsman redeemer. He was a relative. He had the means. He was rich. He could fulfill, and not only could he do that, but he could fulfill the Levirate law, and he could take Ruth as his wife and raise up a child by her who would then have the inheritance. The only question that remained was, would he do it? Was he willing? So, Naomi devises a plan. Woman going to devise a plan.
Somebody's
got to have a plan. Who said that? I heard that, Joanne. Somebody's got to have a plan, right? Verse 3, look at the plan. This is so cool. She tells Ruth, get cleaned up. Go take a bath. Good suggestion. Right? Go take a bath. And anoint yourself. Put on some midnight over Moab. I don't know what they had back then, but get some anointing on you, you know? Get dressed up so you look good. Go down to the threshing floor. He's going to be down there tonight, Ruth. You know, Boaz is going to be down there. He's going to be threshing and wait until he eats and drinks. And he's happy. And then see where he goes and lies down. And then, and then uncover his feet. He'll tell you what to do then, from then on. So she goes down, threshing floor, waits for him to eat and drink, watches where he lies down. She goes and uncovers his feet and lies down at his feet. Now, this uncovering of the feet, I'm not sure what that exactly that means, but I think just uncover his feet in the middle of the night, I think his feet got cold. I don't know. But I think it's kind of, man, the cover must have come off my feet. And he goes to get up. And he looks. And there's somebody lying there. Who are you? She says, I'm Ruth. She says, I am Ruth, your maid. And then she says, here's love's request. Love's request. She says, so spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative. Or King James says, near kinsman. My margin says, redeemer. You're the redeemer. She says, literally in the Hebrew, it says, spread your corner of your covering over me. And that word corner of covering is the same word back in chapter 2, verse 12, that's translated wings. She had taken refuge under the wings of Jehovah. Amen. And now she is saying to Boaz, I want to be under your wings, under your protection, under your authority as your wife. You know what this is? This is a proposal. She did it. He didn't make the proposal. Remember that. For a reason. I'll tell you why. But I think I know why afterwards. But she proposed to him. And his response, may you be blessed. You didn't go after the young bucks. You came and you chose me. You know what? Everybody knows you're a woman of excellence. You know, Proverbs 31, I think 16 says, who can find a woman of excellence? Her worth is far above rubies, King James, jewels. Who can find an excellent woman? He says, you're an excellent woman. He says, you know what? I'm willing. I'm a close relative, but you know what? There could be a problem here. There's a closer relative than I. There's somebody in line before me, so I'll have to deal with him. If he will redeem you, let him redeem you. But if he doesn't wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. I'm willing. But you know what? You got to go about things properly. I'll tell you, when you're in a courtship, you know, you got to go about things properly. There's a proper way to do things. And he said, I've got to do this properly. Do you see him there? Did you get the eyes of faith on chapter 3? You know who I see there? And again, I see our kinsman redeemer. I see glimpses here of Jesus Christ. Because there's three qualifications for kinsman redeemer. What are they? First of all, you had to be a blood relative. You know what Jesus did? He left heaven and came down to this earth and entered the human race. The Word became flesh so that he could be our redeemer. He's blood relative. He's part of the human race. Then you've got to be able. Boaz was rich. He was able to be the kinsman redeemer because he was rich. Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, was able because he was the perfect, spotless, unblemished Lamb of God. Amen. He was the only one that could pay for our redemption. Amen. He's the only one able to do it. And he was willing to do it. He was willing to come. He was willing to go to the cross. He was willing. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. Do you see him? Do you see the beautiful picture of Christ? He's our kinsman redeemer. He shed his blood, gave his life on the cross to redeem us, to purchase us, so that we might become his bride. Do you see him? That's love's request. And it came from the bride, not the groom. Interesting. Now, real quickly, chapter 4. And here we have love's result. Love's result. Story is, Boaz goes down to the gate, and the closer relative comes, and he says, listen, Naomi has to sell this property, or do you want to redeem it? And the guy says, yeah, I want to redeem it. And he says, well, there's something that goes along with the package. There's a woman that goes along with the pact, this Moabite woman by the name of Ruth. If you redeem it, you have got to marry her. He says, well, I don't think I want to redeem it. He says verse 6, the closest relative says, I cannot redeem it for myself because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it. He said, I love the land, but I don't want what comes with it. So now, the way is open. The way is open. And the results of love. Do you know what the results of true love are? Blessings. Blessings. Let me give you some of the blessings. Look at verse 13. Well, first of all, the blessings of marriage. It says, so Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. Someone has said that before Boaz took her as his wife, he was ruthless. But you know what? When he took her, he was blessed. And I'm going to say this, and you might, I don't care what you think, marriage is a blessing. Amen. It is. It's a blessing. And I know that's probably not popular today. It's a blessing. Does that mean it's easy? No. Been married, going to be married, Lord willing, 43 years. But I'll tell you what, bumps along the way, oh yeah. Hard times, oh yeah. I'll tell you, the second best thing that ever happened to me after I came to Christ was to find this lady and to get married. And marriage is a blessing. It's a blessing of the Lord. And after she became his wife, he and she were blessed. The blessings of marriage. There's the blessings of motherhood. Verse 13, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Children are a blessing of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Being a parent and having children is a blessing. I know, it's hard to say that. It's hard to say that sometimes. Because I'm, amen. Amen, it's hard to say that. Because, is it easy?
No.
Is there pain? Yes. Do they drive you crazy sometimes?
Absolutely.
That's true. Do they drive you to your knees till the day you die? Yes, they do. I'm going to say here today, it's a blessing to be a mom or a dad. That's a blessing from God. I thank God that he allowed me the privilege to be a dad. I do. Then there's the blessing. Oh, and here's a good one. The blessing of grandparenting. Yes. I got to read this one. Verse 14, look. And then the women said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today. And may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap, and she became his nurse. And the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. She became a grandma.
Yay!
I tell you what, I love being a grandparent. It's wonderful. They can come over, spoil them rotten, send them home. Praise God. Somebody said that grandparenting is God's reward to parents for not killing their kids. I'm going to tell you, I love being a grandpa. I love it when my three granddaughters come up and hug me, and they go, Papa, Papa, and they're, melt. You know, it's grandparenting is a blessing. I'll tell you, praise God. And then there's a blessing. You know what? There's a blessing of being a part of God's redemptive plan. Because you see, at the end there, verse 17, and he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And we don't have time, but you look in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and guess who's there? Boaz and Ruth. You see, they were in a time where you look around and you'd say, oh man, things are falling apart. It's evil. I have anxiety about what's going on. It's a terrible time. God was at work.
Yes.
God was at work behind the scenes. God was working his redemptive plan. Now I got news for you. God's at work today.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, we can look out there, you can watch the news tonight, and you can get concerned and you can get depressed and all that kind of stuff. God's at work. And just like he was working his redemptive plan here, he is working his plan in his world today to bring back the Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. What blessings. You see, what began in chapter 1 in a famine ended with fruitful joy. What began in chapter 1 with a funeral ended with a wedding. What began in chapter 1 with bitterness, don't call me Naomi, don't call me pleasant, call me bitter, ended with blessings.
Amen.
That is what love can do.
Yes.
Love can change everything.
Yes.
Now, I've got to say this, I'm sorry, but conclusion. Well, you're not sorry about that. Conclusion. First of all, love's resolve. Have you resolved to follow the God of the Bible? You see, because Orpah and Ruth give us a picture of two choices. You can either turn your back and follow the gods of this world, or you can say, I'm going to follow the God of the Bible. Amen. Did you resolve to do that? I'm going to tell you, that's the only choices we have. Your God will be my God. Your people, the church, will be my people. Amen. Have you made that resolve? Love's response. God wants us to love people with a Christ-like love. Humble, serving, grateful, respectful, patient, kind, and protecting. Is God saying, you need to turn up the love in your home, in the church? Love's request. I love this. I love this, Shay. He's our kinsman redeemer. He paid for our redemption.
Amen.
So we have to do what? We've got to come to him and ask him to be our savior. He doesn't ask us to be his savior. Let me ask you. No, we're coming to him and saying, Lord, I believe you died for my sins. I believe you paid for my redemption. Be my Savior.
Amen.
I want to become the bride of Christ. And when we do, we have love's results. Blessings. When we accept him, we're included in his family.
Yay.
Yay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise you, God, for his love. Lord, we just bow. My, oh my, thank you for this love story. And Lord, help us to do that, Lord. If we do anything, help us to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Help us to love people. I pray that your love would abound in our homes and in the church. By this, people are going to know we're your disciples by the love we have for one another and our families. So, Lord, minister this word to each and every one of our hearts. We all need to grow in love. I just pray this in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen.